welcome to episode 133 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. We are very glad you're joining us this week. Our goal is to inform, educate, and inspire. We hope that tuning in for our weekly chats will help push you outside of your comfort zone and add some new experiences to your bucket list. We also welcome ideas for topics, so if there's something you'd like to hear more about, let us know. My name is Elizabeth, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Lindsay and Sandy. The world is full of destinations waiting to be explored. This week we thought we would discuss some unique travel options you may not know even existed. So let's get started. So I think to summarize what we think this episode is going to turn into as we chat, it's going to be some of those sort of things, not necessarily places you didn't think about going, but maybe things you didn't think about doing while you were in those places, right? Is that
things you didn't know you could do.
Yeah. You didn't know you could do. Yeah. So, because I think when you hear weird travel, we'll just start with like, we'll ease into this topic. Ghost tours, right? Mm-hmm. That's sort of the, you know, go to a town and get its history through like the supernatural. Yeah. It's always a great way to sort of get oriented and hear the spooky parts of a town. And some towns are better for that than others.
Charleston.
Charleston, Savannah.
Williamsburg.
St. Augustine. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Old American cities, New Orleans. Mm-hmm. New Orleans. Yeah. We need to put that on our list for things to do in New Orleans.
Yeah. Ghost tour.
Yeah. Cause yeah, definitely lots of spooky things. And that can even lead to things like cemetery tours, which I know happen a lot where mm-hmm. they'll take you around, look at gravestones, which, Westminster Abbey is technically a big cemetery tour. Mm-hmm. And that is hardly considered weird tourism. So
that makes you think of like the catacombs.
Yes.
And maybe the Paris sewer tours.
That's an excellent segue too, because the catacombs, there's nothing stranger than that. It's a bunch of like human remains artfully displayed in like rows, and but people flock in there and cram into this tiny little space and line up for hours.
Yeah,
and
that's on my list.
Yeah.
That's all the things I want to do.
So there's an actual Paris sewer tour, Lindsay?
Yeah, there's actually, you can tour the Paris sewers, and I'm not even going to try and pronounce it in French because I'm going to butcher it, but you can take guided tours of the Paris sewers, which to me, I'm fascinated by, you know, at first you were repulsed thinking about it, but then it becomes kind of, I wonder why this is a thing. Mm-hmm. What is it about this that is making so many people want to see it? So,
well, but, I'm sure it would be really cool if London did the same thing, because their whole sewer system
is... I think New York might do it.
Yeah, maybe. Well, I guess it depends on how toxic it really is.
Yeah, it makes me think of, was this X-Files episode?
And rat rides.
Yes. And one of the games you play on it is who could spot the biggest rat. Yeah.
Yeah. Flushed away in real life. Yeah.
But those underground kind of, that's a great way to hear about the history of the city. Cause a lot of times not only is the sewer system, you know, full of history itself, but then you're also looking at like the old city when you're down there.
The layers of the city. How the city mm-hmm. has, and it's so weird to think about that. And I know when I was in Rome, it was really hard. We went to visit several churches that were built, and you just kept going down, and there was another church, and there was another church, mm-hmm. and there was another church just mm-hmm. built right on one on top of the other. And it's hard to get that concept of everything stacked on top of one mm-hmm. another until you're standing there and you're in the Capuchin monks actually, because of a lack of space, they utilize body parts to make furniture.
Ooh.
So in addition to the catacomb tours, you can actually go see, they have everything from chandeliers, and out of respect for the dead, you're not supposed to take photographs, but for a little bit of a donation, you can walk away with some postcards that are very interesting and unique to share with all of your friends.
And isn't that so weird? It's like out of respect for the dead, yet we made furniture out of them. So
and you can buy this
paper. Yeah.
It was really, and the monks themselves, that's what happened to their bodies as well, because it was a space issue. There was nowhere to put them. And I think you're right. Some of these, they may seem off the beaten path and really weird, but I think it gives you a really good taste of the history
mm-hmm.
and mm-hmm. the stories behind what a city is, or what you might, you know, think a city is. One of the more unique tours that I came across looking into this was there's a Chernobyl tour in the Ukraine.
I have a friend who's doing that tour this summer. Shout out to Emma. Hey, Emma.
Yeah. So what is the point of the tour? Is it to see the destruction, or, I mean, is it an environmental tour in that it's sort of like educate? What's the point of the tour?
I think it's like a don't let this happen again kind of thing. I'll ask her if she goes.
Yeah.
Maybe we could have her on.
That would be really interesting. Actually, she would be a great guest. She's got a lot of things to share.
She's been everywhere, but she's 5 hours ahead of us. So,
we'll
work it out. Yeah.
You can also tour the red light district in Amsterdam. Did you do that?
I did. Mm-hmm. I did. And, you know, I saw this on your list, and I'm like, that's not so weird. I guess it is. I guess I just, you know.
I know several people who have done that.
Yeah. And honestly, in my opinion, I think taking a tour of it, at least to start with, is wise, because there's cultural differences there that you really do need to know about. And the tour that we did, it's a guided tour, but they don't stop at every window and talk about, you know, the girls or whatever. What they usually do is they give you information before and after you walk through, and then you basically walk through quickly and look around, you know. So again, it's almost a, like, you can't take pictures. If you take pictures, the girls will get nasty. Mm-hmm. And it's just not okay. And so basically it was, you know, we're going to do this and we're going to do this and we're going to do this. Here's what to look for. Here's what to be prepared for. There were a couple places he could stop and talk to us, but they were not related as much to the, what the red light district is known for the sex industry there. It was more historical about Amsterdam. He could point those things out. But then for us, it was nice because then we understood where we were and what the rules were. And then we could go the next night. We had dinner in the red light district at a fantastic restaurant. I've told this story before because Sandy thought that I was,
I got one of those crazy emails where
my credit card was marked
in Europe and you have to send me a credit card.
All I wanted her to do is call my bank and get them to let me use my credit card.
Sounds so sketchy.
Yeah. She was like, she forwarded it to me. She was like, you'll never believe what I just got. I was like, that was me. So anyway, but the restaurant was fantastic, and I'm not sure that we would have, you know, felt comfortable venturing into the red light district had we not already been through it once before. And then we were able to sort of walk through it and, you know, a little bit slower and, you know, really see it without just briskly walking by. Mm-hmm. Because they don't really take to tour guides pointing, you know.
And this girl is the best one.
So, well, there is also, and Sandy will probably find this very interesting. Do you know there's a Cat Island?
I saw you put that on there. Where is Cat Island?
The Cat Island is in Japan.
Oh, I've heard of that.
I thought they had a bunny island. I didn't know about the Cat Island.
It's a ferry ride away from Japan's east coast, and I'm going to butcher this name, so I apologize to anyone listening. It's Tashirojima. There's about 100 people that live there, and they are extremely outnumbered by the cats.
Wow.
So they were encouraged to take residence on this island because the island used to produce silk. And, of course, mice are natural predators for silkworms, so they were kind of a now I think it's just a cat retirement community.
Good intentions gone wrong. Like,
the fishermen consider them good luck, and the island has a cat shrine, and there is newly built cat shaped cabins for tourists to stay in.
Wow.
So, and there are no dogs allowed.
So you have to
have no dogs allowed.
I've heard of a snake island. Have you heard of this island? Like somewhere, I really say, off of South America.
I'm still kind of wishing I hadn't heard of it, actually.
It's supposed to be like these
Can we
snakes,
go back to the bunny island idea?
They're like so That's poisonous funny. That you can't go on this island because you'll die.
Oh, I thought that was Australia. That was a joke. I think Australia is trying to kill you. I'd heard of the Bunny Island. I hadn't heard of the Cat Island. That sounds fantastic. And actually kind of creepy. And
yeah, a little weird. Yeah. Yeah.
I think that many cats together are probably plotting to take over the world.
Yeah, I would think
we need to be sure that they can't get off the island.
Those 100 residents are going to get eaten.
Yes. I'm surprised they haven't already. So they've probably been brainwashed.
Yeah. freak gonna do today?
Yes, exactly.
So in not too far away from Mexico City, there is another island, and it's the Island of the Dolls.
Oh, that sounds really creepy.
Yeah, that does sound creepy.
A lot creepier. So I don't. I read a couple different versions about how this came about, but basically, it's like a major tourist magnet. A little girl drowned in a canal, and supposedly this Don Julian Santana, the man who found her floating, later found a doll drifting in the same canal, and so he hung the doll by the nearest tree as a way to honor the little girl's spirit. And then he hung another one, and then he went crazy and filled the whole entire island with these scary looking. If you want to not
flip, hanging, right? Are they hanging by their necks?
They're hanging like hung. Oh. Yeah, it's very creepy. If you don't want to sleep tonight, Google.
No.
Google.
That's a nice tribute. Okay,
thank you. Wow. The best part about this is I'm sure Heidi knows about it, so when she listens to this later to edit it, she's going to send us all notes about it and send us creepy pictures.
Or she'll just research it and send us the information.
Thanks, Heidi. Thanks in advance, Heidi, for creeping us all out.
So, keeping with the creepy theme, have you heard of the Karni Mata Temple in India?
Mm-mm.
So, there's some religious significance to this. The town of Deshnoki, India. Again, I'm so sorry for butchering that. There's a temple which people flock to pay homage to a mystic who was the reincarnation of the goddess Durga. Rats have infested the place, and for some weird, unexplained reason, people believe that they're sacred and they're not to be harmed, so they let them just crawl around everywhere and they feed them, and there's an estimated like 20,000 of them. They've even dug out tunnels for them, and now people go just to see the rats. And the website that I found this on has a picture of a small little girl putting her arms in a giant tray of milk, which the rats are gathered around eating out of.
Wow.
It's the strangest thing. So next time you're in India,
I now know what to avoid. That's not my thing at all.
Are they cute rats or are they yucky rats?
It doesn't look like I'm assuming they're probably very docile if they're being fed. And rats are actually incredibly intelligent creatures. So it's just they have that stigma of, blame one plague.
All we did is start one little plague. Although technically that was the fleas. So it wasn't even the rat's fault. The rat was just a carrier.
But getting off of the creepy stuff, there are some other little less creepy. You can do a prison tour in Bolivia where you're actually guided by an actual prisoner who will take you around to tour the prison facilities. And you can do this in several other countries as well. Not guided.
Do they tell you why people are in the prison, or are they just showing you how the prison works?
I think they're showing you how the prison works. From what I read, it just seemed like it was a.
That's one of those that I would feel like bad going in and.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, if there's prisoners in there and they see you kind of traipsing through there.
I'm also kind of curious about the guy, if the prisoner who's like giving you the tour, how much does he know about this prison that he can't break out of it if he knows it well enough?
Secret tunnel I've been digging.
But while we're talking about darker tours like that are crime related, there's a lot of sort of true crime related tours that you can do. Like there's I did a Jack the Ripper tour in London, which is, it's actually really fascinating because you're not only talking about Jack the Ripper, who everybody is really fascinated by. And, that ours was led by like a Jack the Ripper historian I've seen him on the History Channel. Like he's very famous. And he does, these tours, and, you're also walking around the Whitechapel area of London. So you're getting this historical perspective of a neighborhood of London that you normally would not go to for kicks, right? It's residential, it's business. It's not like a tour. There's no big church there to go see or anything. Well, I guess it's Whitechapel, but there's no real reason to go there other than Jack the Ripper. So you get to sort of see more of London mm-hmm. through the eyes of this famous series of crimes. There's an area in Paris where the original Sweeney Todd, who everybody thinks is British, but apparently that story, the true story of Sweeney Todd, his name wasn't Sweeney Todd, was in Paris in the Saint-Germain district. So, but yeah, somebody really did that. There was really a barber over a bakery that, you know, yeah. Yep. And I see on your list, you talked about like a mob tour of Vegas.
Yeah, I'm a little bitter about this because I still have yet to do this mob tour in Vegas. This was just opening up. There was a mob exhibit just opening up at Tropicana when we were there last time, and it opened up like the week after we left. But anyway. So there is a mob tour where you can walk in the footsteps and kind of get the guided experience of, there's also mob tours in several other famous cities. There's Chicago. So that's something to keep an eye out for if you like the history of crime, getting away from crime, but I guess maybe not getting away from crime because pot is still illegal in Jamaica. Bob Marley bus adventure in Jamaica, and Outlander Travel would like to take this opportunity to notify you that we do not condone nor recommend partaking in any illegal substance in any foreign country. But this Bob Marley bus adventure is supposed to be quite the experience.
Does that go through Kingston?
Yeah, you kind of walk in the footsteps, and you kind of several of the articles I found about it alluded to fun extracurricular activities.
I'm sure.
But from a history perspective, I think it would be a fantastic tour to take if you are a Bob Marley fan. And there's also a mystical tour in Haiti where you get to meet a voodoo priest and you get to take part in a secret ritual, which I'm not so sure that I think I'd want to go do that, but I don't know that I want to take part in the secret
ritual. I'll just go take some hairs out of your hairbrush before we go do that.
Yikes.
Do you remember that Gilligan's Island where they made the voodoo dolls and they would like put the arms straight up in the air and then their arms would
go
out?
Yes.
I'd be making Lindsay do that all weekend.
That would be a very interesting way to learn about a religion, though, to actually just be able to go in and experience it firsthand. And I know there's other opportunities to do that as well with other religious rituals and things.
So when I was in Cuba, we did part of the cultural exchange thing. We got to go to an artist's commune where they practice Santorini. And it was really, we got to see some of the dances and got to look at some of the artwork, and it's a very interesting way to get to experience a different religion or culture to kind of do that. But, you can also do, Izu Islands in Japan, not full of cats, instead full of gas masks that you are required to wear. It's actually a law if you'd like to visit. It hasn't been inhabited for ever, so it's a lush greenery, but it's sitting on a volcanic, active volcano region, and there's poisonous gases that are coming up from the ground. Mm-hmm. So you have to wear a gas mask to go, and it's some of the creepiest tourist photos I've ever seen. Just a bunch of people wearing gas masks.
It's so interesting that you said it's lush and green, because that's not what I would have expected. I would have expected, you know, that. So it's poisonous gas for us, but not necessarily for plant life.
Not necessarily.
And the plants are not doing a good job converting it.
Yeah, apparently not. They're not cleaning it up for us. That would be interesting, especially from a scientific perspective. That would be a nice science nerdy kind of thing to do, as long as you don't mind the risk of, you know.
So let's talk about something that's not quite going to kill you, but what about the ice hotels? Because I see you listed a couple of those, and that always makes me think of James Bond.
I want to talk about unusual hotels in general, because I think you have a few on this list, I think. It makes you think of James Bond. Was there one in one of the Bond movies?
Yeah, I can't remember which one it was. But yeah, they went to an ice motel. It was...
there.
Yeah, number one. It was like in the 90s.
I mean, it is. There are definitely things, and I've heard, you know, they're not nearly as cold as you think they are, because it was like the whole igloo effect. They actually.
No, it's like 23 to 28 degrees or -5 to -2 inside, because outside, cool. At least this one in Quebec that I was looking at in particular, because outside it's -28 degrees, and then there's -18. Sorry. So, but they're from January to May, and there are several. There's one in Quebec. There's one in there's some in Scandinavia. I think there's supposed to be one in Alaska, but I didn't find the actual website for that one. So we'll just say that possibly there's one there. there is for sure one in the igloo village in Greenland.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that's where the James Bond thing was, in Greenland.
Yeah. So they have like ice fishing and dog sledding, and there's like a sauna, and of course there's an ice bar.
Yeah. so cold.
Yeah, I was going to say, having been in an ice bar for like 10 minutes, I don't know how I could stand the hotel thing.
Give us our last drink.
Yeah, I love the idea. I really do, but I just cannot imagine. Now, I will say, there are some hotels. There's a hotel, I want to say it's somewhere in Scandinavia. It might be Sweden. That are like these igloo type hotels, but they're not made of ice. They're actual like
for the Northern Lights.
So they have glass.
Maybe Finland. I do think it's Scandinavia.
Finland? Okay.
I'm not sure.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, I can't remember exactly where it is, but that I would love to stay in one of those. I think that would be wonderful. You basically can lie in bed and look at the Northern Lights. I do wonder, you know, can you sleep all night, or is it like too bright, or is there like a retractable curtain over it where you close it?
I'd love to,
but
just watch.
I know. I think I probably would sacrifice my sleep for that.
The pictures I've seen of Northern Lights don't look too bright. It just looks like, you know, yeah.
And of course the nighttime would be a little bit longer there too at that time of year.
So
I would love to do something like that. I think that's a really cool idea to, you know, it's not like staying in an ice hotel, but it's still unusual for sure.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah. I've eyed yurts before too, but that's too much like camping. I can't do that.
I've actually put clients in yurts before, and they absolutely loved it. Can't say that that's how I'd want to
personally travel. Yeah. It takes a special kind of person. And I don't mean that in a bad way. It's just that is a type of vacation that, yeah.
You can also stay on the Queen Mary, which is a ship that's supposed to be haunted off of Long Beach in California. And you can actually go there just for like restaurants and stuff. But you can spend the night and then look for the ghosts, and they do ghost tours.
Yeah. We can talk about haunted hotels at another time. That might be actually a fun full episode.
We come back from New Orleans.
Yeah.
So there is an underwater resort.
That's cool.
The Poseidon Underwater Resort. And it's, near a Fijian island, mysterious island. But it is, I guess that's the only address I can really give you, because it is underwater.
Is it Atlantis?
For like an address. I'm like, where exactly is it?
So how do you get there? How do you get to the underwater hotel?
That is a really, really, really great question. I do not know. I'm assuming by boat.
And then by diving? I mean, do you have to be...
By diving, you have to dive in, out.
You might not have to. They might have, like, an elevator or something that takes
you
down.
Let's see. What's the experience? 225 acres. It's a mile long. 90 feet deep in this lagoon. It looks incredible. These are the pictures when you're looking on Pinterest or you're seeing on Facebook and someone posts the, oh my gosh, it's a hotel under the water. They're talking about the Poseidon Resort. So, I think that they may possibly have, I think you're right. There has to be an elevator.
Oh,
there has
to be. Like swim through the bubble, like in Star Wars.
I guess you got to get your luggage down there. I'm sure there's some sort of like.
Yeah, there's a tube.
Transport. Yeah.
There's a tube that goes down. So.
Yeah.
There is.
You gotta talk about claustrophobic.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
That actually. Yeah.
It would be cool until you got in there, and then I think I'd panic.
I don't know. You just have to get used to it. I think you'd have to definitely adjust your mental state.
All you need is one fan to break or something, you know, like your air supply.
So all right, Nelly Negative.
There's so many ways to die.
Her worrying about life, worrying about survival.
Yeah. This is the girl who wanted us all to go to Tijuana.
You do not need to be a scuba diver to stay at the Poseidon Undersea Resort. Guests enter through an elevator at the end of a pier.
Okay.
There is no difference between the pressure inside the resort and the atmospheric pressure at the surface, so anyone can enjoy the resort. And the interior is completely air-conditioned and humidity-controlled.
That's really marvelous right there. I mean, when I use marvelous in the like true sense of the world, like that is a marvel. That is like...
Yeah, because just the pressure, I mean... Think about the pressure coming in on that glass.
Well, but they also said it's only 90 feet deep, right? So it's not terribly deep.
Okay.
I mean, it's deep. It's not like you just swim around down there, but,
And then in case you're worried about someone scuba diving down and watching you prance around in your skivvies in your room, because everything is all, you can opaque the glass.
Oh, that's so cool.
How cool is that?
That's so cool.
Wow.
That is nifty.
So they also have the world's first seafloor restaurant with amazing viewing. And I think I would go down in this to see the restaurant. I think
I would want to stay there one night at least. I think.
Yeah. I don't know that I could do a whole night. I think I'd pay for a night and eat at the restaurant.
You know, you talking about the restaurant, that reminds me there's a place in Thailand where you can literally eat at the foot of a waterfall. Like they have tables set up at the foot of a waterfall. And I look at the pictures and everybody looks very pleasant and happy, but I'm just like, aren't you getting splashed the whole time while you're eating? Isn't it kind of annoying?
People like, and after a while, you know, you're getting hit in the eye.
Yeah. And it's all in your food. It's like, all my food just tastes salty and watered down. I don't understand. So I don't even know if it's a saltwater waterfall. But yeah, these tables are all literally set up right at the bottom of the waterfall. And you're sort of ankle deep in this water. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's, I don't know. It's different. Yeah. It's weird for sure. It fits into our topic.
So there's also the Conrad Maldives Rangali Island has an underwater restaurant. And that looks pretty fantastic. I think it is all just because the resort itself is above water. It's the restaurant that's just underwater. But I think that would be more my speed.
And the water that just like in Fiji, I'm sure it's, you just have fish everywhere, and it's so easy to see them. And I trust it's a seafood restaurant, so you basically are eating their friends and family. Yeah, that's awesome.
They're giving you the eye.
Yeah. What you doing? What you got there?
Yeah.
There are also treehouse tours if you don't want to be under the water and prefer to be above in the sky. The Arariu Amazonian Towers in Brazil, and they have catwalks that go in between all of the buildings.
Nope.
And
like the Ewok village.
Nope.
You never need to touch the ground.
Yeah. Nope. Nope.
There are also some in South Africa in Pazula Treehouse Game Lodge in Limpopo Province. So yeah, no, you wouldn't do that.
It depends.
You zipline.
It depends on how high they are. Well, if there's a rope tied to me, then maybe. But walking across a rope bridge is one of the, in my top five things of most terrifying things a person could do. I do not know how people walk across bridges that shake like that. I literally freeze up. And then somebody has to come pry my hands off of the ropes and gently guide me back. The whole time I'm crying for my mother because I can't. As soon as I would get out there and I would seize up. There's no way.
Yeah, I'd probably have to be rescued too.
Yeah.
So I had a little surprised at myself when I was doing this because I came across something that I had not, I'd not known about the Indonesia's Blue Fire volcano. I think I've seen pictures, but I didn't know that it was actually something you could climb up and do. But you have to ascend the volcano at midnight. And right away I started laughing hysterically because all I could think is Sandy going, let's do this!
Yeah.
And then falling asleep at 9 o'clock.
Yeah. Well, and also that whole concept of you must ascend at midnight. I'm like, are they going to throw us in? I feel like this is a ceremony. Yeah. So you said it's a blue fire volcano. Is it because the fire is blue? Is that
the fire is blue? And it looks amazing. I think it's one of those, it's now jumped on my list of things I'd really like to see before I die.
Where is it?
It's in Indonesia.
Okay.
That sounds very cool.
Go see it.
Yeah.
Tell me
about it. So yeah, I think, I mean, we're at 30 minutes. So, we found lots of weird things to at least touch on. There's like hundreds of sort of unusual things out there, but yeah. I guess to sum up, if there's anything really wacky you want to do, you probably can do it.
Yeah.
You probably can. So I know I've seen things like you can lie on a bed of nails if you want to try that. And like, pretty much anything that you can think of, you can probably do. You just have to find the right place to do it. Well, that is our show for this week. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode or any episode, really. To leave comments, visit us at outlandertravel.com, then click podcast at the top of the page and find the episode you wish to comment on. Or like us on Facebook at facebook.com/outlanderpodcast, or just search for Fly Away. And please be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes. On behalf of Lindsay, Sandy, and myself, Elizabeth, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly!